This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back yet again to another episode of The New World Next Week, of course, available at NewWorldNextWeek.com, not just here on YouTube, not just on Blip, all around trying to just spread this information that, again, is nonpartisan, open source intelligence, and we beg you guys to not take our word for anything, to go do more research for yourself. So our first story today we'll take from CNBC. Fed to spend $600 billion, that's with a B, more to help boost U.S. economy. The Federal Reserve launched a controversial new policy on Wednesday, that's today, November 3rd, here in the States, James, committing to buy $600 billion more in government bonds by the middle of next year in an attempt to breathe new life into a struggling U.S. economy. The decision, which takes the Fed into largely uncharted waters, is aimed at further lowering borrowing costs for consumers and businesses still suffering in the aftermath of the worst recession since the Great Depression. The U.S. Central Bank said it would buy about $75 billion in long-term Treasury bonds per month. It said it would regularly review the pace and size of the program and adjust as needed, yada, yada. In a post-meeting statement, the Fed described the economy as slow and said employers remained reluctant to add to payrolls, and it said measures of inflation were somewhat low. Now, James, before I get your take on this, we want to tie in another story that, of course, comes along right on time, and we'll take this from Michael Snyder, writing for BlacklistedNews.com. The Federal Reserve is holding a conference on Jekyll Island to celebrate 100 years of dominating America. The Federal Reserve is going back to Jekyll Island, which, for folks out there, look it up. It's off the coast of Georgia. Celebrate the 100-year anniversary of the infamous 1910 Jekyll Island meeting that spawned the draft legislation that would ultimately create the U.S. Federal Reserve. The title of this conference is A Return to Jekyll Island, The Origins, History, and Future of the Federal Reserve, and will be held on November 5th and 6th in the exact same building where the original 1910 meeting occurred. Briefly, we'll note that, of course, again, all of this is out there. G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, is pretty much the first spot to check all of this out, as they all snuck away under the cover of darkness and secrecy. So now we have November 5th and 6th. We'll have Bernanke and Greenspan and Goldman Sachs managing director Corrigan and the heads of other various regional Federal Reserve banks. So basically, is this really the time to run away and celebrate your huge success, which I guess for them it is, but for us it's not, James?
Well, that's a good way of putting it. It's a success for some, but not for others, and it's a success for those who want to basically gloat over the trashing of the U.S. economy, which we know has been going on systematically for decades, but has really reached its culmination since 9/11 and since all of these bubbles and frauds started to go into absolute overdrive. Enabled, of course, by the wizardry of Larry Summers and others behind the scenes who were making the derivatives bubble possible, which, of course, has really enabled all of this to happen, as the banksters have literally gambled away the economy. And as people who listen to the Corbett Report might know, I have Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, as a guest on my program each month, and he's been talking for months now about how this QE2, the second round of quantitative easing, is basically absolutely necessary for the banksters to prop up the ailing American economy for another quarter or two and before the inevitable ultimate slide begins. And basically, we're just going to see it go sideways for a little bit. We're already seeing signs that the rest of the world is ready to drop the dollar at a moment's notice, with pretty much every currency in the world gaining against the U.S. dollar right now, because people know, people understand, they are printing it out like it's toilet paper, and it pretty soon will be. So this is not a good sign for, again, for anyone in America right now. It's a sign that your economy is being trashed, and the question is, what are you going to do about it?
But James, didn't Obama say that Larry Summers did a heck of a job?
That's right, he did. Well, I guess he did an equally good job as Michael Brown, the ex-head of FEMA, who Bush said did a heck of a job at Katrina. So you're right. I'm sorry. I take it all back, and the economy's fine, and everyone should go back to sleep.
Well, let's hop to our second story before we go back to sleep. And we'll move to foodworldorder.com for a story from the always provocative and interesting and fascinating naturalnews.com. Alcohol more harmful to your health than heroin or crack. Scientists from Britain's Independent Scientific Committee on Drugs recently released a study which is available from Lancet, but of course not in its entirety. They'll let you look at the abstract, but you have to pay to get the whole report. Assessed which drugs cause the most overall harm to both users and society. According to their analysis, alcohol is the most harmful drug, scoring higher on the list than both crack cocaine and heroin. So it gets in some of the specifics and some of the criteria that they use, but if we'll jump down, one of the heads of this research is a guy named David Nutt, N-U-T-T. Nutt was forced to resign last year from the British Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs after criticizing British ministers for ignoring the scientific evidence showing that alcohol, which is legal, causes more damage than cannabis, marijuana, which is illegal. This goes on to, of course, point out that actually LSD and ecstasy are worse than alcohol. But of course, James, those are chemical, man-made drugs, not something that your creator God left here on the planet for us to use, such as cannabis.
Right. Well, very apropos of the story today, I just recently had a chance to watch Kevin Booth's American Drug War, the Last White Hope, and it was very revealing. I mean, I've known a lot of this information for a while, but it was just a really well put together documentary, basically talking about how he's lost members of his family due to alcohol addiction and prescription drug addiction, and he's even had battled with prescription drug addiction, and yet, of course, the laws are always against all of these other drugs that one could at least say are on a similar level in terms of the devastation that they wreak. And if prohibition didn't work for alcohol, then why does prohibition supposedly work for other drugs? And it's a good point. It's an hypocrisy that's really only in place because it enables and supports the status quo, which is being maintained because things like hemp, of course, are a wonder plant that could be used for so many different purposes. But if we can vilify it and illegalize it because of certain aspects of that plant, then a lot of industries can benefit from that. And it's very obvious and very, very blatant. So I would suggest people check out American Drug War if they haven't already.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that actually available for free online? Probably in some form.
I don't know. I actually bought the DVD, but
that I was just about to say, which actually, that's the way to do
yeah.
it.
Let's support the filmmakers.
Your alternative media outlets. So, James, I guess now in our remaining time for our third story, we'll return to the topic of last week's episode, and that was, of course, our U.S. midterm selections special. And there's no shortage of info to go over on this story. However, we're just going to kind of briefly run down the highs and lows. And a lot of these things will be posted on MediaMonarchy.com. On my Election Day posting yesterday, which was an article from Mike Whitney, which came from GlobalResearch.ca, that I titled Election Day 2010, Voting for a Restraining Order. And we've gotten a lot of great comments and criticisms and thoughtful criticisms at that, James, on our discussion last week of the John Stewart rally, which a lot of folks did mention that John Stewart's closing speech is something to really check out, where he does really call out, in a way, the left-right paradigm and basically says that both sides are kind of being led around by the nose. So again, as I think we said last week, we don't really come down hard and fast on any certain way of saying, like we said, you know, John Stewart's an agent or da-da-da. We really do welcome, you know, thoughtful criticism from folks. So again, you can check out the comments on YouTube and you can check out some of the comments and criticisms on Media Monarchy. So again, I want to acknowledge that and not say that those things fall on deaf ears. But James, let's run down the quick list of some of the ugly headlines. Now, of course, today, earlier today here in the States, we had Obama giving a press conference, a little contrition conference, where he had to discuss the massive losses that essentially his team took. And you can get more on that from The Guardian. But some of the bad notes, Alan Grayson lost in Florida. He was one of the more outspoken voices against the banksters. They're great clips and transcripts of him questioning and grilling the banksters. So he was seeming, you know, one of the good ones who now lost. And again, through all of these just fear tactics and Tea Party and we're going to take our country back garbage. Paul Joseph Watson asking the question, did Harry Reid steal Nevada? And tying in with that from MinnesotaIndependent.com, there were reports of voter intimidation and vote fraud on Election Day. And of course, again, we always will mention blackboxvoting.org and Brad Blog as great places to check out. That again, you probably didn't hear about it on your evening news, but there were instances of vote flipping and other things going on. Because of course, electronic voting does not ultimately work for us. Rand Paul won in Kentucky, and his latest interview, I believe last night with CNN, was he's vowing to challenge the GOP establishment, so let's see if he sticks to that. Russ Feingold lost his Senate seat, which, again, folks will note, was he the only guy who voted against the Patriot Act? I think he may have very well been, and again, folks, check all this stuff out for yourself. In other bad news, California turned down Proposition 19 to not legalize marijuana. However, they're all about taxing it, which, as we noted last week, is essentially what they want. They want the taxes out of it. And here in Oregon, voters turned down Measure 74, which would have set up medicinal marijuana houses, essentially. So some good, some bad. Of course, Christine O'Donnell, the witch, you know, didn't make it in. The WWF president didn't make it in. So fortunately, I think in some of these cases, it shows that just because you have a ton of money doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to buy your way in. James, what's your quick take here on the postmortem selections?
Well, you know, what can you say? Well, I just wonder how long it will take before everyone realizes that this election will really have changed pretty much nothing. And I wonder how long it'll take before the Tea Partiers, who have long been bought and paid for by the Republican Party, realize that it's just more of the same and nothing's going to change. But I think when the quantitative easing really hits and people see what it does to their wallets, I think the political illusion will be shattered and people will realize. I mean, I don't want to be too cynical, but honestly, I don't think this election's really going to have changed all that much.
No.
And there was something else that happened on Election Day that was a very, very important and which a lot of people might have missed, and that's that the buildingwhat.org ad ran in New York City and on several stations. So that's a positive thing, and I think that's the kind of thing where we can see, hopefully, real political change shaping up, and we've got to support efforts like that at the grassroots and avoid the political system that's bought and paid for and completely controlled.
Absolutely, James. Well put. Another quick thing I want to do, throw out to my home state of West Virginia. I think they made the smarter decision and went with the Democrat, went with Manchin, as opposed to the well-funded GOP challenger who was essentially from Florida. James, I think that puts it into perspective quite well to wrap up this latest episode of New World Next Week. And again, on my upcoming episode 193 of Media Monarchy, we'll go into a lot of this in a lot kind of greater detail and again cover some of the thoughtful criticisms of our coverage of the election and of the left-right rally. So, right. James?
And on Corbett Report this Sunday, I announced the wrong podcast on my last episode, so the next episode will not be remembering Aaron Russo. The next episode is going to be Who Owns Your Property, so stick around for that.
Ah, excellent. Thanks so much.
Thank you.